You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org. If we want to stay in a climate that is kind to us, we have to stop filling the atmosphere with more carbon than nature can absorb. Imagine America taking up that vision. The American Congress has a bill for it. It's called the 100% Clean Economy Act. This new legislation has widespread support from groups like the Environmental Defense Fund and even business. To help us understand that vision, we have one of the bright lights, Heather McTeer-Tony. Now, from 2004 to 2012, Heather served as mayor of Greenville, Mississippi. She was the first African-American and first woman to hold that position. President Obama appointed Heather as regional administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency's Southeast Region. That's a huge job with a budget of around $500 million. Now Heather is field director for the nonprofit group Moms Clean Air Force. Heather McTeer-Tony, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you so much, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I hate to start off on a dark note, but I worry people are so close to despair that they think any legislation is flawed and doomed and not going anywhere. Who is putting forward the 100% Clean Economy Act?
Well, to address that issue of hope and despair, I would challenge anyone, just look in the eyes of a child. That's where I get my inspiration. Anytime I look at my kids, I know exactly why I'm doing this work, and I am so appreciative to the members of Congress that put forth the 100% Clean Economy Act, because I do think they have our children in mind. And so Congressman Donald McKeeshan from Virginia, Deb Haaland, Debbie Dingell, Paul Tonko, among a number of others, really came together to pull a piece of legislation that I believe really moves to protect the public health and the environment and create the clean energy economy and really strengthening our economy for the sake of our nation and for our entire planet. And I'm hopeful with that.
There still are a lot of surprises coming out as new science rolls out. It seems every new paper in the leading journals documents how we grossly underestimated the threat and the time we have to fix things. Can we really wait until 2050 to stop polluting the atmosphere?
Moms across this country, certainly our membership and parents everywhere, say that we've got to do this as soon as possible. But I'm really hopeful, and I think that this bill does a good job of allowing the agencies to not only look at how they can achieve this goal. You know, one of the very unfortunate things that has happened over the past 4 years has been the reduction of scientists and technology experts within agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Energy. It's been saddening to see that a number of the advisory boards, for example, have really been decimated, and that we've lost a lot of institutional knowledge with respect to science and technology on climate issues. However, this bill is written in with the idea in mind of us rebuilding that science and technology base and hopefully bringing some of that back such that they can make plans and look at how we can achieve this goal hopefully faster than 2050. The other thing that the bill does is it allows the agencies to set an interim near-term emission reduction goal so that makes sure that we're on track for 2050. So we're not looking at a situation where we're waiting to 2048 to say, okay, now we need to get it done. There are opportunities throughout the bill for agencies to work together and to bring in communities and ensure that we're doing this in a very fair and equitable fashion.
Well, you've given me a little hope that we could rebuild America as a leading science pool by, you know, within a year after the elections. It's possible. But in the meantime, I know what my listeners are thinking. Well, Mitch McConnell's going to kill off any 100% clean economy bill. What is the current status of the 100% Clean Economy Act?
So it is going to be moving towards, or we hope it's moving towards a vote. I know there's a lot of things that are happening in Washington, D.C. right now that may have the attention of our legislators, but I am hopeful that people and citizens in district will keep this at the forefront and ask their legislators as they're home for the holidays and even when they return back What are you doing on the 100% Clean Economy Act? Are you pushing this forward? And are we going to make sure that we get this passed? I'm hopeful that it will get passed. But there's also, you know, what's going on in local communities. So I don't want to have your listeners thinking that it's completely hopeless, because it is not. But also, it's great to talk about in your local communities, because we are seeing state legislators, governors, mayors across this country take bold action on climate, even when our federal government is not. So organizations like Climate Mayors and C40 mayors are saying that we are going to stand up and ensure that we have climate action now, and are even utilizing and looking at some of the same things that are within this bill, some of the same guiding principles that we have for action, and using some of these same bases to make sure that they're doing it within their own local communities and in their states. They just need to hear from your listeners, and they need to hear from the people.
Well, you're spot on with that. We just had a guest, Rana Adib, on our program talking from Paris about all the cities around the world who, when national governments say we're out, they're saying we're in. And so there's a lot of hope there, so this act may inspire that.
There's also, though, the focus on equity and justice and ensuring that there is fairness in these environmental outcomes for rural and low-income communities, as well as communities that may have been disproportionately impacted by climate, vulnerable populations that we really haven't heard from before. This particular piece of legislation ensures that having that conversation is a guiding principle for that action, and that we're talking about not only making sure that they are positively impacted, but that we're providing benefits. So we're talking job creation when we are talking about 100% clean energy. We're talking about equitable transition for workers who would be affected by any type of change in the economy. We're talking about preparing communities for things like climate impacts and risks that are associated with climate change, and how they can use clean energy to really bolster their economy. So this is a holistic bill and approach to addressing climate, and a good step in the right direction for how our country should be addressing this issue.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. For me, one of the frightening moments in American history was Hurricane Katrina, when the hot Gulf waters and the high seas just got that storm going. And African Americans were the most traumatized by it all. So many had to migrate. They were the first, I think, climate migrants in the United States, going to Denver and Nashville and all over the country. And so I'm hoping we can make our response a lot better when the next climate power disaster strikes. Will this bill help that, or do you see other things that will help make our response better?
You made a key point of when. It's never if, it's always when. And this bill absolutely looks to how we can use these actions to prepare communities for climate impacts and prepare for resiliency and sustainability. I was in Houston, Texas a few weeks ago, and we have a great organizer there who herself came from Katrina and moved to Houston as a result. And even after moving to Houston, was impacted by two hurricanes there in the Houston area. So the issues of how these impact all of our communities, but particularly communities of color and those that are in vulnerable places geographically across this country, is very important to how this bill is implemented. And I think is at the high point of how agencies will look at their actions. So taking infrastructure, for example, a way that agencies will look at how they can implement 100% clean energy to ensure that the infrastructure itself is sustainable and very resilient, using wind and solar. Power grids are able to be back online in all communities as a result of any type of extreme weather event. These are things that are important to citizens, to mayors, to state legislators, to businesses, and most certainly to our parents and moms, and members of Moms Clean Air Force. Because I tell you, if you have a child with asthma, or maybe a elderly parent who's on an oxygen machine, you don't care how the electricity gets back on. You want it on, and you want it on now. These are the types of situations that this bill would be able in looking to address.
Well, right. We've heard the raging grannies sing, and we've certainly seen youth, including Greta Thunberg. But I've wondered for years, where are the mothers, the people who care most about a safe future for their kids? So, Heather McTier-Tony, why don't you tell us about Moms Clean Air Force?
So moms are always there. We are ever present. Even I think of moms like the wind. You don't see it, but you feel it. And that's exactly what Moms Clean Air Force and our membership of almost a million members across this country, that's who and what we are. We are the force behind our children that are out there protesting and are taking off their Fridays to come and talk about climate action. We're caring for our elderly parents who are also impacted by climate and air pollution in a way that is significant to their health. We are sending those notes to our members of Congress. And most importantly, Alice, we are voting. We are voting like never before. And we are looking to see whether or not climate is a part of the platform of the people that we select and ask to be put into office. So we are always there. We're ever present. And one thing that you definitely want to make sure that you do is if you have mamas that are coming and are asking questions, that is definitely a group that you want to address forthright and honestly and quickly, because at the point in time that you see us, it means that there's some action that has not been taken that we want to make sure is taken very quickly. So I will share this with you. I was talking to a group and I told them, it's like, you know, if you've got a group of kids at your house and they're in the other room and there's a lot of noise, it doesn't really require a mom to go in the room as long as you can hear that they're okay. It's at the point in time that you hear something breaking or that, you know, it gets super quiet. That's when I, as a mother, get up and go into that room to figure out, okay, what's going on? What's happening? And this is the place where, you know, now our moms are getting up and going in the room. It's not that we haven't been there. We haven't been listening. We have been, and we've been very active and very supportive. But when we see that actions are being taken that are in direct conflict with the health and wellness of our children and our families, it requires more action and more activity, and we are encouraging everyone to join alongside us to make sure that our officials are aware that we are watching and we are demanding climate action now, and that 100% clean energy is a great place to start.
Radio EcoShock.
So in November, you delivered a keynote talk at the 2019 Bioneers Conference, and the title was Climate Action is the Social Justice Issue of Our Time. And I took your test. I went on Google and I searched for images of environmentalists, and sure enough, it's a sea of white faces. So how can we fix that? Is it already being fixed? I know you're part of the change.
Absolutely, and we're showing it. And so I'm so glad you went and took the test. And I don't think I'm so glad, though, it still hasn't changed yet. It's going to take some time for us to work on it, but it's about what we see and identify as an environmentalist and what does an environmentalist look like. And each and every one of your listeners, the fact that they are actually listening right now, they're tuned in, and they're thinking at this very moment, what can I do? They are an environmentalist. You are an environmentalist. And we have to identify ourselves as people who are concerned about climate and concerned about the air we breathe, but also concerned about the sustainability of our families with respect to the earth that we live on. That's what makes us who we are. So we should share that with our networks. We should take pictures of it. The same way that we post things on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, we should do that with respect to the issues of climate and environmentalism within our own social network. So I challenge each and every one of your listeners and you as well, you know, identify yourself as an environmentalist. Follow us on Facebook. We're at Clean Air Moms, and on Twitter at Clean Air Moms. I'm at Heather McTier on Twitter, and, you know, shout out to us and say, hey, I'm an environmentalist. This is what I look like, because it's as we see those images of ourselves and identify it with the things that are most important to us, that's how we change those pictures that show up on Google.
Well, some people are hoping Jeff Bezos or Bill Gates will order 100% clean economy, but personally, do you really think a carbon balance could become a reality without addressing fair distribution of wealth?
That is an excellent question, and I think it absolutely has to be addressed. But I also think that we have to look in the future of how we can ensure that communities and people have access to build wealth using and talking about a green economy and sustainability and things like clean energy. So it's the part where we want to talk about how are our children being educated? Are they being given opportunities to get into a clean economy in terms of job creation and really creating wealth and sharing wealth in this space? Are we looking and making sure that there's fair access to people with respect to things like housing? Green gentrification is a very real thing. And that's when you have communities that, let's say, for example, sea level rise has come in and has really decimated a place such that the people who've lived there for years can no longer afford to live there. But we give tax breaks to rich people so that they can come in and buy a vacation home. You know, these are the sets of things that I think have to be addressed and have to be addressed in a way that is fair and equitable, but also gives people an opportunity, to create wealth in this new or even not so new economy that we see as green and as sustainable and as resilient, and give communities an opportunity to build. And some of those names that you mentioned, I'm sure, would do well to look at how they could play a very big role in that.
As we wrap up here, is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Well, I want your listeners to be engaged. Call your congressperson if you are in the United States of America and become involved with Moms Clean Air Force. We're online. You can find us on the web at momscleanairforce.org. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. We're social and we are everywhere. And we want to hear from you and know that we are together in this. Ours is a organization that's based purely on the love of our children, love of all children, and making sure that they have an environment that they can live and be proud in.
Well, listeners, I'll toss all those links in my show blog, but you can just go to momscleanairforce.org and connect with Heather McTeer-Tony, the politician, administrator, eco-justice activist. I really admire your work, Heather. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. We are totally out of time for Radio EcoShock this week. Thank you for listening and caring about our world.